Okay. All right. Well, welcome back. Welcome back to Kata. To what ostensibly is the return of Webcomics Weekly.
It's almost like you're afraid to say the name.
I'm afraid to say the word ostensibly.
We're afraid to say Webcomics Weekly because of the great power it invokes.
Well, and because everybody's brother makes that hack joke about Webcomics Weekly, more like Webcomics Annual.
Well
yeah,
guess
but
what?
Yeah, I'm not worried about that because at least they're talking about you.
Yeah, maybe.
Right?
Or how about think about it this way? It's like the Bible. 6 days, a day is anything. Day could have been a million years.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Weekly doesn't mean anything. Use your imagination.
People are complaining. People are complaining. That means they want more.
Yeah. That's how I'll
they could be saying nothing at all. We could be hearing nothing from them.
Yeah. This is a much better position to be in. So who's on the dais today?
Well, I'm here. I'm Scott Kurtz, and I do a comic strip called PvP, which you can find at pvponline.com.
I'll take the middle slot because I know that that's the one that you tend to forget. I was wondering if, Brad, if you would like refrain. I'm Chris Straub, and I do the comic Starslip at starslip.com and Chainsaw Suit at chainsawsuit.com.
And what am I supposed to refrain from?
Oh, I thought you were going to not go in the middle.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm Brad Geiger, and I do Evil Incorporated at evil-comic.com. And I guess that makes me batting cleanup today.
Yes. Dave is not with us. Dave is enjoying the festivities at New England Webcomics Weekend.
Dave is at the New England Webcomics Weekend.
Which we are not at.
I'm not at.
Which is a shame.
Do we want to talk about why we didn't go this year?
I don't know. Why would we get straight into that? I feel like it's just the number of conventions that I want to do and the type of conventions I want to do it's changing.
That's
a really good kickoff topic.
It's starting to become in the past year, and not that this was necessarily the case with Webcomics Weekend specifically. But in the past year, at the beginning of the year in 2010, I said, I will go to any convention that flies me out. I will go to any convention that invites me. And New England Webcomics Weekend is a great convention, don't get me wrong. But there have been conventions where, towards the end of the year, they've invited me, and it's like, we will pay for your booth, we will pay for your table and all this. And that's so great. That's a wonderful position to be in. And yet it doesn't make it worth going to.
Really? Go. I explain that because I'm coming at it from a little bit. How can you not make a profit if they're covering all of those things?
Because
I can explain that easily too.
Yeah,
go ahead, Chris.
But
go
I'm
ahead.
Saying like you. Well, you can make a profit, but how much of a profit? And then how much? What many hours will you have to work that weekend to turn that $300? Like I'd rather I can stay home and do that.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. It's like if New York Comic Con flew us out this year you drove, Brad, but if you hadn't been in a position to drive,
right,
you would have been flown out. So we were guests of the New York Comic Con,
right?
And that is a huge thing, number one because it's an honor, but number two because that is a huge convention and the potential for profit at that convention is immense. It's an East Coast show, which I don't get to very often. It's a lot of people. It's a new show. And it's been like almost a year and a half since the last one. So no cost of booth, no cost of hotel, and no cost of airline travel means everything I make I keep, except for my per diems of eating and having fun. And I have the potential to make a lot of money at that show. But if I'm invited out to SchmuckCon, mm-hmm. you know,
let's be clear, though. I'm not saying that Webcomics Weekend is schmuck con. Because it was a super great con the first year we all did it.
Oh, yeah.
It was a super great con, especially because the focus is webcomics. So,
well, that's not what I was getting at. I was saying that if you get invited out to a convention and there's And it's a brand new con, or a not well known con, or just a small little con. And they're paying to fly you out, and they're paying to put you up, and you don't have to pay for a booth. Then all you're doing is you're saying to yourself, for the cost of a flight and a hotel room, which is probably going to be at a day's end, I am getting paid that as an, you know, split up amongst 16 hours, right? Because probably 8 hours a day you're at the con.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's what I'm getting paid an hour to sit here and do nothing. And could I make more money at home working on a project? Like if I spent those 16 hours working on a new product or getting ahead on my strip, would I make more money with that? And then you got to weigh that. And if that's the only con you're doing this year and you want to get out and meet the fans and there's other reasons to do it, you want to network,
that's fine.
Then you can go. But if you've already done 10 conventions this year and or your time is so valuable at this point that you can really only do the shows where you make a profit. And you know, it's really funny because I remember when David used to say that. He used to say, I really can only go to shows where I make a profit. Otherwise, I can't justify it. And I would be like, oh, too good to come out and meet the fans, huh? But, you know, he had just had a kid. And when you have the when you have all the work you have to do, the responsibilities that you know, the time you want to put in with your family and your kid, something's got to give. You can't accept every invitation to every convention.
And I forgot a similarly, not as noble, but a perfectly good reason why I'm not at Web Comics Weekend. 2 weeks ago, I just came back from like 6 weeks in Europe with my family. I did not want to get on a plane again.
Well, yeah, I could certainly understand. How long were you on a plane?
I didn't take that many planes when we were in Europe, but the intercontinental flight is like 12 hours.
Ugh.
So, I mean, it was more of a question of, okay, I'm going to put my business on hold for 6 weeks, which is, I've never done that before. Mm-hmm. I don't want to come back and then a week and a half later, you know, leave. I wanted to sit down and put my head down again.
Right. Well, you know, as far as new goes, I kind of got to the same point this year where, although I was a little bit worried when I started hearing Chris talk, because I've gotten to the point where I'm going to probably announce this year that I'm at where you were. In other words, I'm going to say I am not going to go to any shows in 2011 unless I'm invited, because I can't keep what, you know what, I look back over my books and what happened over the last, especially 2 or 3 years, I experimented with shows and I'd go to a show like New York and make a killing, do wonderfully, have a great weekend. And then I'd do two shows like, I'm not going to name names, but I'd do two other smaller shows and give back all of the profits I made at the good ones.
Right.
And I have a lot better chance of making a profit when I'm an invited guest. So I'm just going to do the ones I'm invited to. But I guess what you're saying is kind of a good cautionary tale. Just because you're invited doesn't mean that that's necessarily a good reason to go to the show.
Well, I lost money and time doing – I used to have – this was maybe 2 years ago. I had the exact same – what's going on?
Oh no, that was me. I'm at my drawing desk. I've got masking tape holding my illustration board down.
Oh, okay.
Pro tip.
I'll try not to do that.
That was a classy way to slide that tip in. I had no idea. Which is not the first time that Brad Geiger has been told that.
No one has ever accused me of doing that.
Classy tip.
So I honestly would have loved to go to a Webcomics Weekend for the camaraderie. And it's an incredible, like, I've never seen so many web cartoonists in the same place. But like I had a, like you're saying that's the space that you're in right now, as far as being invited to shows, which is an incredible position to be in, and I don't want to seem like I'm not grateful for that, because who wouldn't want to see, oh, you're going to fly me out? This is amazing. You know, I don't have to pay for airfare. It's incredible. You want to be in that position. But I had made a habit 2-3 years ago out of doing the exact same thing. I would do a big con, San Diego, whatever it is, have a great weekend, and then for whatever reason, a week after that, rather than decompressing, that weekend was some tiny con that had invited me or was near where I lived. So why not go? And then I would go and I would just blow 2 days there. I would blow 16 hours sitting in a booth where nobody's there.
Yeah.
And that's psychologically defeating too, especially if they're back to back. And you and I have both done that, Chris, where you go to a show where you can do no wrong. It's like people just chase you down the aisles trying to hand you money. All right. And then you go to another one of these shows and you sit there and it's nothing but crickets. And it's mentally defeating because you come off this incredible high where everything is great. And by the next week, it's like, well, maybe this is it. Maybe it's time to quit.
Yeah. And all of the momentum you had of going to the show and seeing these people and it's amazing. And you know, other creators, you want to get back and sit at your desk and start making stuff. But you can't because you have to do this other show. Well, and it's awful. And now you're stuck with that emotion.
Well, and I think that there's one of the things that I want to start exploring as a concept in 2011 is scarcity. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about the destruction of scarcity in what we do as web cartoonists, because so much of the old business model of being a traditional cartoonist was based on scarcity. You want to read my comic strip, then you have to buy the paper that it's in. And if you don't subscribe to the paper that it's in, you don't get to read it. And if something becomes popular, then those newspapers want to have your strip so they can have it too, you know. Whereas when it's on the net, the idea of scarcity is gone. It's accessible everywhere, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that scarcity applies to pretty much every aspect of our life as a web cartoonist. Accessibility, there's no scarcity. You can reach me on Twitter, email, chat, you know, Facebook. You want to see my strip? No problem. It's on the web. It's on your iPad. It's on your phone. You want to see me in person? I am at 15 conventions this year, you know. You want a book? I've got 8 books. And when they sell out, I reprint them.
Right.
And so, you know, there is a value in scarcity and incorporating that back into our business models. And I think that it's a little bit, there might be a little bit lost in that pursuit. Scarcity and accessibility, what have we gained from it? Well, we have a direct line to our readers. And that's great. But just like my grandfather used to say, everything in moderation. If we go too far in the other direction, if we're completely accessible, then now we're dealing with too much feedback, which can be a negative thing. Because I have half of my readers telling me, no more Gaga days. We miss the storylines. That's what made PvP great. Then when I do storylines, the other half says, what happened to the Gaga day? I'm sick of this soap opera. Right?
Yeah.
Hate mail. The syndicates, it's not that Bill Watterson didn't have to deal with hate mail, but his syndicate was like, this is not going to help Bill's day. He doesn't need to see this.
Right.
And it's not that, you know, the syndicate would ever say, look, Bill needs to man up and accept this because if he doesn't get this criticism, his strip will never improve. No, that's not how it works. So draw back a little bit. Create an email box just for fan mail so you can check that only when you want to address that. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Build up some buffers and build some scarcity. And as far as this, the convention circuit applies, why go to every convention? Why be so accessible? You know, plot it out, think it, be smart about it, and let there be some scarcity so that when you do appear at a show, it's a big deal and you have something new. Maybe you only appear at a show when, you know, you do have something new to offer. Something significant to offer in by way of appearance or merchandise. And so, you know, I mean, it makes me feel like I'm letting fans down when they come up to a show and they say, just came by to say I'm a big fan. And I'm like, oh, awesome. You know, is there anything I can help you with? And they're like, no, I have everything it looks like. You know, I just want to say hi. I mean, you were here.
Right.
Right.
I don't know who that's serving. It's not serving me. It's not serving them.
Yeah, that's another thing is that I don't really – I've been trying to get new merch.
It's not serving out. The con promoter.
Right. And it doesn't – you know, if you go to a convention and you don't have new stuff, especially where I'm in a position where I don't think I've had new stuff in my store for like – I don't know. It might have been a year by now. No, I got to be less than that. 6 months, 8 months. That's a long time to show up at 3 cons with nothing new. You know,
Yeah.
But can I potentially shift the discussion a little bit to what you were saying, Scott? Part of the reason too is why I didn't go to Webcomics Weekend is that like in the last 6 months I've been getting a lot of negative email.
Really?
And, yeah, and it's very much the kind of negative email that's easy to ignore or should be ignored. It's not easy to ignore. It should be ignored. It's not constructive. It's not, hey, you know, I would wish you that you would do this. It's very much, you know, who do you think you are? You're a jerk stuff.
In regards to what, though? In regards to your storyline or
no, in regards to my me.
It's personal criticism.
It is personal criticism. And it's made me kind of gun shy. Mm-hmm. I had a reader meetup that, like, I don't know what it was, like a week or two ago. And part of it was I want to start doing that to get over this, like, well, maybe I shouldn't go to this convention. I don't want the people getting mad at me, you know?
Yeah.
No, it's true. I mean, and I've gotten a little bit of that as well. I got an email this morning from a guy who just clearly just wanted to be super mean to me. And, you know, maybe it's that time of the year. Who knows? But again, it's one of those things where there's no need to take that to heart. I mean, I think that as cartoonists and as people, we have grown to the point. And if you're listening to this and you don't feel that you have, maybe you should. But as a cartoonist, you want to grow to the point where you and your peer group are self-examining enough already that you shouldn't need to rely on hearing it from your fans.
Right.
If you're
a good artist, you don't need somebody to tell you you're doing a bad job. You're already worried that you're doing a bad job every day.
Yeah. And also, it's a bad policy to take that feedback from readers anyway, because they are such a large group that they can't come to a consensus anyway. And it's designing by committee anyhow, right? What's the phrase you like to use all the time, Brad?
You know what a camel is. It's a horse designed by committee.
Yeah. Right.
Not that a camel is bad, but it's not what you were going for.
Well, it's not a horse.
I don't know. Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's something to be said for scarcity. I was talking to a friend who deals with this kind of stuff, and he has his own, you know, he works with his own webcomic property. And I was saying, you know, I've numbered all these books, and I've gotten to book 8, and now books 1 through 5 are in a format I don't like anymore. Books 6 through 8 are in the format I do like. And when I sell out a book 1 through 5, I don't want to reprint them. But that material that was in those books, I would like to put into paperback form. Right now they're in the Awesomeology. So if you buy the Awesomeology in 6, 7, 8, you have everything that's ever been in print as far as PvP is concerned. But once books 1 through 5 sell out, there's no cheap way to get that material in pieces. You have to spend $100 on the Awesomeology.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to reprint them. And his response was, let it sell out. Let them know that it, you know, once the book sells out, it's gone. You can't get that book anymore. And I said, well, no, you have to reprint it. And he's like, why? If readers thought that books had a life cycle, and when the book is gone, that material might get reprinted at another time, but that version of the book is gone, then the book has more inherent value, and why wouldn't you want to do that with your work? And it makes sense. I mean, I have Peanuts paperbacks from when I was a kid that I can't go pick that up now. I'm sure it's in a treasury somewhere, but that book is out of print.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with creating that scarcity. And so, yeah, when books 1 through 5 are done, they're going to be done. You won't be able to get that book anymore. That material might get reprinted in the future, but not in that format. So scarcity is something I'm trying to introduce into my life into 2011, and to give my work and myself more value and my time. And so I really want to pick and choose what cons I go to. And this year was so hectic with my move to Seattle that the cons at the end of the year really suffered, because I've traveled so much and everything's up in the air with, when am I moving here? When's Angie moving here? When is the house going to sell? I couldn't commit to new. I couldn't tell them, yeah, I can be there, because I didn't know if I could.
Yeah.
But new would be a tough sell for me for 2011 because for me, at least, the New England Webcomics Weekend is hanging out with friends. And yeah, there's going to be fans there. But I would say, especially for new, the majority of you really have a very odd thing that happens in webcomics. Maybe it happens in comics proper. You guys tell me what you think. But you have comic book fans that just read comic books because they love comics. And then you have comic book fans who read comic books and love them, but they have aspirations to make their own comics. They have aspirations to break into the business. So there's a subset of comic book fans who are comic book fans that also want to make comics. And I think in web comics, that subset is much bigger. I think it's a majority. I think that, yeah, I really do. It feels that way. It really feels like the percentage of people that love webcomics that also want to make their own webcomic, that want to have skin in the game.
Oh, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Is a much bigger percentage.
It's a much bigger percentage.
And so I would also say that if you want to break this Venn diagram down even further and you want to overlay a third circle and apply confrontational, I won't even say hate, but confrontational correspondence onto that Venn diagram, the circle that represents fans of webcomics that also want to make webcomics and the circle of confrontational emails receive almost perfectly overlap.
Oh, I see. I see where you're going.
And so for me, the New England Webcomics Weekend, for me, just me, and because I don't want to assume for anyone, and it's only been once, was a very confrontational weekend for me when I was dealing with a lot of people.
Well, we were saying that, like, there's – I would love to actually do a series of podcasts on this very subject because I think it's super interesting. And I had a lot of time to think about things in Europe as far as this is concerned. But the idea that there you get to a certain level of popularity – and suddenly you've got people coming up to you and going, ah, Scott Kurtz, my nemesis. We meet at last. I'm like, what? I don't know who you are. Yeah. And it's like you're not even in, like, well, what do you do for a living? Are you a cartoonist who I've snubbed? It's like, no, I'm a reader. And it's like, well, why do you feel that way? Why would you say that? I mean, it's a problem with that. Like you were saying, Scott, the lack of that scarcity. We want to share so much, and it's such a big part of webcomics is the blog and Twitter and connecting with your audience and making them care as much about you as they care about your work, which is a good thing in general, but it also leads to stuff like that.
No, it does.
Well, I think in any profession, the more popular you get, the more you succeed at your profession. The more you get a certain amount of pushback from people who might be acting out of jealousy or something like that. And this other aspect of what we do, this personalization, this availability that we build into our profession, just makes that all the more easy to rise to the forefront. You know, it's kind of like a double push there. Not only if you're a web cartoonist who's near the top of his game, not only do you have to deal with that jealousy, but you've made it absolutely easy for people to express their outrage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you've gone out of your way to provide them channels.
For that very jealousy that if you're successful is going to come at you.
Yeah.
It's true.
So that's pretty tough.
So it's interesting. It's just an interesting thing to think about. And I don't know if it applies to everyone anyway.
I don't know that it does either. And I was a little worried about, as our careers proceed upward, which I'm super grateful for. I'm sure we all are. I'm worried that Webcomics Weekly isn't. It's like I'm getting invited to all these cons. I don't want it. The caviar's the wrong flavor. I don't like, the seats on the private jet were not the leather color I requested.
I don't know. Listen, I don't think that's a problem because I don't think we're, I don't know. Look, people, this is These are the problems we're experiencing right now.
No, we should be able to talk about
it. It's legit. We're not saying this isn't fair. I went to New and I asked my writer specifically said no brown M&Ms, and Meredith had brown M&Ms in there. And that's why she'll never be one of us, the Illuminati, because she doesn't get it. We're not saying that. I listened to Howard Stern, and I listened to him complain about things that should make me go, all right, prima donna, right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry your limo to the Letterman show was difficult. I should say that, but I don't. I'm with him. I'm like, oh, damn it, Vince, or damn it, Vinny. Why would you not have the limo show up when it's supposed to? You dumbass. So I really don't think the listeners are – I mean, look, this is what we're talking about, right?
Right. Yeah.
We know exactly the people who are saying, oh, I'm so sorry that the New England Webcomics Weekend isn't kissing your ass, Scott. I'm sorry everyone's not showing up and just bowing down to Lord Fauntleroy.
Yeah.
But I think what we're saying –
But those people would say that if I went, you know what? I think I want a glass of milk. I think I'm hankering for a glass of milk. Oh, oh, His Highness thirsty for some cow juice. Nom, nom, nom.
Too good for water. Too good for water.
Well, I think what we're saying here is that I think what we're expressing is that the podcast has changed. I mean, we're not doing pro tips anymore. We're not talking about the rulers that we use, although I think that was one of my favorite episodes ever. But we're not talking about us.
Well, there is a lot of stuff where it's like, you know, what's your hosting recommendation? Honestly, I am very disconnected from that now. Right. You know, and it hasn't changed so much that, you know, how many T-shirts should I print? That's the same answer, and we've answered it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard to do the show just on that sort of advice. Like, I would love to get more into the creative aspect.
Well, along those lines, you just got back from a world tour. You went on one heck of a trip. And one of the first things you said when you came back was how much you felt creatively recharged.
Yes.
And part of that was you're like, oh, my God, I took a number of weeks away from my strip and I wouldn't. You probably wouldn't suggest anyone do that. It was probably very stressful. Yet the net gain on that was that you came back feeling absolutely recharged. I want to hear more about that. I want to live vicariously through you.
Okay. Well, when I left, I didn't have anything to draw with. I mean, I took a pad of paper and a pen, but I ultimately did not use it at all. So I was away from everything for like 5-6 weeks. And you know, coming, seeing what I saw out in Europe, and I went to Egypt too, which was amazing. And at the same time, not America, at the same time, not where I'm from. And I think a lot of what it did was just serve to show how alien everything else can be or is. So I was really looking forward to coming home at the end of that trip and saying, all right, what a great existence to come back to. What an exciting time for me. I feel like I've got more ideas than ever, especially because I had no outlet.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to come back, and I wanted to really rethink how I've been doing things and the kind of work that I can be doing. And I mean, you've seen me in the last 2 weeks, Scott. Have I been doing that? Am I doing it?
Business as usual.
Damn it.
Brad, he came in and he took his pants off and he just surfed the web all day.
Shoot. It's not what I was doing.
He's been pretty focused.
It's been good. It's been good to focus. And it's made me like, I mean, one of the big hurdles for me was like, I want to do a third strip. I have an idea for a contemporary strip idea it's not as weird as Chainsaw Suit, which is very easy to do, and is not like, I mean, the big complaint of my creative existence is that I always felt like I had to go way too far out on a limb to keep it from being what everybody else is doing. So I would invent this, you know, it's not enough that I was doing a science fiction strip. It's a science fiction strip that's also a museum. And, you know, now it's about art history and space, so it has zero audience. Not that it's not doing all right for me, it's good for me. But I wanted it to, I want to be able to say, okay, I went out at lunch and I had a funny conversation. Now I'm going to turn that into a comic for tomorrow. Instead of, can't use that. That can be fodder for PvP. Somebody else can run with that punchline. I'm going to have to convert everything to what planet are they orbiting type of thing. So I want to do a third strip that is current and where I can actually draw from what's going on.
So kind of like a journal comic?
Originally I was thinking about a journal comic, but then I started thinking, I don't know that I want to expose all that. I don't know that I want to let people in that far.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, F Chords, the strip that I did for a little while I was living in Dallas, is about as close as I got to doing a journal comic, where it was an extrapolation of my life, but it was certainly my life. But it was so close to me that when I left Dallas and when I got out of the relationship that I was in and all that, I couldn't read that strip. I could not look at it. I did not look at it for like 2 years. I didn't want to see it. It was just wrapped up in all of that. And I thought, well, that's the nature of a journal comic, and maybe there are people who are able to do that, you know. But I'm not strong enough to.
Well, yeah, I think you. I don't know if you want to talk about this, so I hope I don't have to edit this out because I just want to post this. But yesterday you got an email about Starslip, and you were like, "I want to talk about this on the show."
No, let's talk about it. Let's
absolutely. Go ahead.
Because this will be interesting. So one of the things that I came to was like, okay, Starslip has a limited number of stories in it. A guy had written me on Formspring and said, if for some ridiculous unforeseen reason you had to end Starslip in a month, would you be able to come to a good conclusion, you know? And he said, basically, have you written the ending yet? And I'm like, yeah, I've been writing the ending like the last 2-3 months. I have been preparing to end it. Mm-hmm. And I've been thinking, should I tell people about it or should I just let them hit? And now, after a phone conversation with you and Scott, Brad, yesterday, I guess whenever it was, we were like, maybe we should do a podcast. I thought, no, it's of value to talk about it. And ultimately, I've decided now that I need to give Starslip more time to end, because honestly, a lot of it's financial too, because once it goes away, then I will take a big hit as far as advertising. But yeah, I mean, the ending is written, and I'm going to be running three strips for a while. You know, it might be like 6 months worth, but there is an ending in sight now, and I'm ready to talk about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really amazing for me to even think about, because I always consider that to be kind of like your flagship property, if you will.
It is my flagship property.
How scared are you to bring that to a close?
I'm scared in that it's I want to do a good job, but Starslip is, I mean, PvP is Scott's baby.
Right.
And Penny Arcade is Mike and Jerry's baby. Is Evil Inc. your baby? Because I can tell you that Starslip is not my baby.
Yes and no. I mean, you and I are kind of we're a sliding scale. Scott has done, other than like his really early stuff, PvP has always been the center of his creativity. Whereas I started with Greystone Inn, I did that for 5 years, and then I switched over to Evil Inc. And I've got more of a feeling as if I could end Evil Inc. and start something else, and it would be okay. You know, I am not tied down to Evil Inc. I'm going to do it as long as I can keep thinking of good stories. You are way on the other side of that, Chris. You've been involved in so many projects that I don't really expect you to stay with any strip, any comic for a long time. You're more of like, what's Chris doing now? It's more of a...
Now, did we lose him?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Brad.
Oh, no.
Brad.
I think we just lost him.
Brad.
Well, let me see if he comes back in, fine, but let me see if I can run with the ball. Yeah, we just lost him. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's important to. I think it's more. It's more important that if you don't have that property that is your baby, that it's better that the audience follows you and not your work, because then the next project you do, they're not going to say, "This is not Checkerboard Nightmare. Forget it. I'm done."
They might do that though.
They might do that because it's a big change. I don't feel too insecure about it, especially if I give it enough time.
I think ultimately it falls back on that, as much as a reader might want a creator to go in a certain direction, ultimately, if they do, and that's not if the creator goes in the direction that the audience wants as opposed to the direction that the creator wants, it's going to ultimately fail anyway.
Right.
So if you know, it's disappointing when, like, Star Wars goes in a direction that I don't want it to go. But if Lucas kept – if that's not where Lucas wants it and he keeps doing it to appease us, it's going to be worse than the prequels we got.
Yeah.
Because at least his heart's in the shit we didn't want.
Yeah, at least
– we're getting his best.
Right. It's unfortunate that that's his best. But
it's his best right now, and that's unfortunate. Maybe he should – hand that off to somebody else. We could debate that. But ultimately, if your heart's not in Starslip, there is no point in a readership forcing you to continue it, because they want that still.
Well, I think that definitely you can get to the point with a hey, Brad.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
No, it's okay. we've been proceeding.
Okay, well, I'm gonna have to dodge in about 5 minutes anyway, and you guys keep going without me, so we have a full show. But I guess the point I was trying to make is that Chris, I kind of consider you to be more of a name brand cartoonist or a brand recognition. No, that's not the right way to say it. I think of you as Chris is working on any number of things.
The brand is Chris, is what you're saying.
Right. Whereas Scott. PvP might come before Scott Kurtz, and I think with Blamimations and so forth, that may be slowly changing. Mm-hmm. But with you, Chris, it's definitely whatever you come up with next is something you're probably going to be doing for a few years, and then there's going to be something else, and that's going to be good too. And it's not going to be at the end of your career, there's going to be the one big peanuts compendium. It's going to be a compendium of a whole bunch of different stuff that you've done.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any merit to exploring that in terms of how, you know, syndication is going away and all that, where, you know, people used to have a traditional job. You know, they used to work for the government for 40 years and retire. And nobody's doing that anymore.
Everyone feels like a contractor.
You get let go. Yeah. Find something
and
else.
Maybe with cartooning, it used to be you had, like Trudeau said, it was the closest thing to tenure you had. And even in cartooning, it's not. You're a creator and you move from different thing to different thing. But is that so bad? I mean, think about this. We recently lost a creator that has created what inspired me when I was growing up, probably more than comic books, and that's Stephen J. Cannell. Stephen J. Cannell is responsible for some of my favorite TV shows growing up. And some of the TV shows that I found as an adult from before my time that in a nostalgic way, in a kitschy way, I've found to love. 10-Speed and Brown Shoe, The Rockford Files, The A-Team, Grace American Hero, Hardcastle and McCormick. You know, this guy just crapped out awesome TV shows. And you know him because at the end of every show you liked, you heard bum 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 wow, and he threw the damn paper in the air.
Yeah, and you knew that if you just tuned in for that, you knew you missed a good show.
Right. And so I think that there's a good potential for the modern cartoonist to be like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's also the potential for the modern cartoonist to be Seth MacFarlane and just crap out a bunch of shows that I personally couldn't give a crap about. But
but you're right. But since we've come from a tradition of cartooning, there has been, since time immemorial, a stigma against closing your strip and opening up a new strip. It was a sign of failure. if you shut down a strip, you had failed. The definition of success for the last maybe 30 years was riding that one successful strip off into the sunset. And maybe what we're seeing now is maybe a little bit of a change in that, where we're saying, you know what, we're going to do this strip for as long as it's good, and then we're going to do something else. It's almost the difference between, you hear about American sitcoms and British sitcoms. The British version of The Office went for two seasons, and they were two brilliant seasons. The American version of The Office has gone for how many seasons now? And I think it's probably, you'd probably agree, if not jump the shark, very close to jumping it.
It is for sure, actually. There's something much classier about the British ones, where they're like two seasons is plenty.
Yeah, and that two seasons.
No, you're right. And also, I don't know if you're familiar with this, and then we should wrap it up and keep this nice and short and clean. If you have ever noticed series in Japan, and it's not just anime but TV series, when Kill Bill first came out, I was kind of fascinated by the guy, the actor that played the man that gave Uma Thurman the Hanzo sword. And he was a very famous television actor from Japan, and he had starred in a long-lived series about a samurai that I think that character was a tribute to. But every season of that episode, it started over.
Yeah, I remember you were talking about this at a convention once, and
he was
really
a different samurai.
Yeah.
He was a different samurai. It was a different thing, and it started over. And anime does this too. There's an anime series called Tenchi, and there's like six seasons of Tenchi, and every season they just start over. Mm. Same archetypes of the characters, but it's like one time it's feudal Japan, one time they're space cops, one time they're modern day. And they're all in high school, and it just starts over. And there's something really interesting about that. And I think that if you started a comic that way, and that was the focus, that would be cool. And we're going to do that with The Trenches, is we're going to have seasons of The Trenches. Mm. I'm very excited to see how that plays out. But, you know, there's something to be said that there might be just a certain amount of juice in an idea. And Chris, we were talking about this with the reboot this morning of Spider-Man, because it was announced that Martin Sheen and Sally Field are going to be Aunt May and Uncle Ben in the Spider-Man reboot.
Right.
Well, what does that tell you? If Uncle Ben is in it, that means they're starting all the way over and we get to see Spider-Man's origin story again. And who cares?
Right.
Who doesn't already know this?
Right. I want to see what Spider-Man is capable of, not him going, I need to make a costume, I guess, if I'm going to do this.
Yeah, you want to see him defeating Dr. Doom, not a needle and thread.
Yeah, or something, or just take the character to a new level. But, there's something to be said, and I'm not saying, Laura, let's all end our strips. You know what? You're right. Let's start something new. Let's turn PvP off. But there's something to be said for trying something new. I really do think that.
And as much as we have preached in our book and in our podcast about doing it every day and never missing an update and everything, I'm going to tie this all in together. Maybe if you're not pulling in major league page views and huge uniques and all that other stuff, maybe taking a step back and, like Chris did, take a break. And it maybe sometimes we have to rethink how we're looking at this kind of thing. You know what? Maybe it's okay to take a break and not update for a little while if your strip isn't working. And maybe it's okay that when you come back, it's a completely different strip. We've kind of preached this dogged clinging, and we're going to make that idea work. And maybe it's time to step back from that a little bit.
Yeah, maybe it's time to start thinking about scarcity a little bit, especially, honestly, to tie it all back to the beginning. Things are changing. It used to be that we were the kids on the net, and no one else was like, the net, that's not real. And I remember saying, everyone's going to eventually come, so enjoy it while you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're here. Now it seems stupid not to have your comic book on the net, or on the iPad, or on the iPhone, or on mobile devices.
Now we're seeing that pendulum, like I said, in New York, swing back.
Yeah, swing back.
Model.
yeah, we're swinging back to a corporate model maybe. And just like we have always said from the beginning, we're not against print. We're not anti-print. We're not anti-newspaper. We're not sitting here rubbing our hands together. That's why the shirt is ironic.
Right.
That reading web comics is killing newspapers. If the money's in newspapers for comics, that's where I'm going. If the money is in mobile phones, that's where I'm going. I want to be a cartoonist. I want to make as much of a living as possible as a cartoonist. And I want to stay flexible and stay mobile and move to where the money is. But anyway, what an amazing re-inaugural podcast.
I was going to say that's a wonderful place to wrap everything up
for the
new
web comics.
All of our topics in a neat little
weekly, monthly, yearly, never.
What?
Right, Chris?
Yes.
Right, Brad?
I didn't hear what you said. I was running my mouth.
Yeah. Oh, I was talking over you like a douche. I was saying for the new web comics weekly, monthly, yearly, never. So anyway, we're going to try to do it again real soon.
It's been good.
Feels great.
Yeah, especially to keep it shorter because I actually had two other topics we could go through.
Yeah,
but I'm gonna just sit on them.
Save it.
We'll write them down.
I got them bookmarked.
And we'll try to get Dave in here. We'll try to get Dave in here next time. So signing off, I've been Scott Kurtz.
I've been Chris Straub.
And I've been Brad Geiger. And this is Web Comics Weekly.
We'll see you next time. What was wrong with Brad's sign off? What did you want him to
say? I know nothing. You just had to add something.
You want a little scat?
See you next time. Why did you add more and then chastise us?
I'm stopping.
Okay.
Why did I add more?
No, I'm stopping.